Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your welcome. Yeah, I'm only human. We're all human, aren't we? Elaine, where are you? Wave to me. Elaine, thank you so much for bringing a bit of your story to us this morning. It was fantastic. Wasn't it great to hear Elaine's story? And it wasn't a setup. I didn't know Elaine was going to say what she's going to say, but it feeds in very much to what we're going to look at in the message today. I will take one issue with you, Elaine. You are special. In fact, every one of us here is special. If you're a visitor here tonight, I want you to know that God thinks you are special. He not only thinks that, he loves you. Okay, that's absolutely fundamental. Every one of us is special to God. Whatever we look like, whatever size we are, whatever age we are, whether we're grumpy, whatever, God thinks we're special and he loves us. And we've sung that, haven't we, this morning? Yeah, so we're looking at the subject of I'm not well. Well, I'm actually well. I don't know about you. Are you well? Oh, one person is. Wow, there's going to be lots to pray for this morning, isn't there? We all face sickness, don't we? And illness from time to time. We're all aging and ultimately we will die. Unless Jesus comes back before then, but we will die. We believe in both persevering in this church through ill health, and we believe in healing. We believe in God healing us naturally and supernaturally. But how do we hold all this tension together of aging and sickness and healing and the gift of healing? How do we hold it all together? Well, we're going to get some help from the book of 2 Corinthians. So if you have got your Bible or your phone, you want to turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. We're going to read some verses from there. If not, it's going to come up on the screen. Corinth, when this was written, was in Roman times, and the Corinthians, as a people group, worshipped many gods, so they had many beliefs about health and sickness and dying. But with dying, they sort of believed that they would go to this shadowy world, which sounds all rather horrible, doesn't it? This shadowy world, more like what's celebrated at Halloween, I guess. But they believed that they would go to this sort of shadowy world, and they wanted to give people a proper funeral so that they had a smooth journey into this shadowy underworld. And they believed in the cycle of death and rebirth, and there was a whole mixture of gods and religions. So it was all very confusing, and Paul gives us some good teaching here about this. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and from verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. This jars of clay was interesting because Corinthians actually kept jars, pots, with valuable things in. They would put money in it, they would put gems in it, they would put their jewelry in it. So Paul is saying, but we have treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Excuse me, Alf. So Paul says, don't lose heart. Our outer body is wasting away, and of course it is. Much money is spent on anti-aging creams and beauty products, aren't there, to make us look young, keep us young. According to muscleandhealth.com, you will reach your sexual peak in your 20s. Some of you are past it. Your physical peak in your 30s. Some of you are past it. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus died on the cross at his physical peak. Your mental peak in your 40s and 50s, so that's hope for some of you, and you will be happiest and relaxed in your 60s. It doesn't say anything about 70s or 80s or 90s, so I don't know what to make of that. The message this morning that we're looking at is all around verses 16 to 18, so if you want to have those open in front of you, we're going to be particularly looking at this. I want to touch on four things from this passage, particularly with reference to healing of our bodies, our hearts, and our minds, whatever our age. The principle, the biblical truth, applies what we're going to look at this morning to other areas of life, such as when we're confused, when we're perplexed, when we're pressed down, when we're despairing, when we're lacking hope, if we're under the weather, depressed or oppressed, if we're persecuted. These four things are at work in us. There's four principles here. And they all begin with T. I made it easy for you this morning. Trial, temptation, truth, and transformation. That's neat, isn't it? That's where we're going this morning, okay? Thank you. We see these four things in the text, and they're commonplace in our journey. So firstly, trials. There are some people that speak, teach a health and wealth and prosperity teaching. They teach that financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God, and that faith, positive scriptural confession, and giving to charitable groups, particularly their own, that's my words, will increase material wealth. Material and special financial blessing is seen as the evidence of divine grace or favour and blessings. This is a distortion of biblical truth in our understanding. There are grains of truth there. However, we must be honest and admit that we have trials, don't we? We have ill health at times. There's trials of injury and pain and suffering, our ageing bodies, and this chronic illness to contend with. Absence of sickness or a huge bank balance are not signs of God's favour. God's favour doesn't disappear like your bank balance will when you are unwell. No. Father God does prosper us, absolutely, but I don't believe it's always expressed in health and financial blessing. And of course, this teaching can bring guilt and condemnation upon people and actually damage faith rather than build faith. It can push people into denial. You know, there's nothing wrong with me, but there is something wrong with them. I haven't got a limp, but why are you limping? You know, it's nonsense. We read from this passage that our bodies are like fragile jars. They're like pots. They can be broken. We can be injured physically, mentally, emotionally. He said, death is at work in us. Paul said, death is at work in us. Our bodies are aging all the time. If you're over 30, your body is aging. Some of you have got 30 times 2, haven't you? Are there any 30 times 3 here? Wow, some may be heading there. But yes, our bodies are aging, aren't they? Paul, who wrote these words, was a conservative Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was highly educated. He was religious. And in his early life, he was on a mission to threaten and murder and destroy the young Christian church. Paul did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But I want us to look at a little snapshot of his life, because he wrote these words later on in his life. So it's just important for us to understand a little bit of his background. The book of Acts recounts for us much of his story. Paul was en route to Damascus, to arrest Christians in that city when he suddenly encountered Jesus. A sudden and bright light came, which actually blinded him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard the audible voice of Jesus say to him, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. You are to go to the city, and you will be told what to do." Artists have depicted this moment in time in different ways. Some have depicted Paul as falling off his horse and being blinded. We're not told that in the Bible. But 3 days later, he was visited by a prophet called Ananias, and this prophet laid hands upon him, and his sight was miraculously restored. Paul's life was turned around by Jesus, and he began preaching about Jesus. And he wrote much of the New Testament that we have. Throughout his life, Paul underwent much suffering for the good news about Jesus. Here's a few things he went through. He was imprisoned. He suffered afflictions. He was sick. He had hardship, had calamities. He was shipwrecked. He knew hunger. 5 times he received the maximum punishment of 40 lashes. They could only give 40 lashes because after that it would seem that you would be dead. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. This doesn't stack up with a prosperity gospel of health and wealth, does it? He wasn't a rich man. Paul suffered intensely as he preached the message of Jesus, and he endured all these things for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul managed this without becoming bitter, leaving the ministry, or being defeated, or having a breakdown. You know, sometimes we have to endure and suffer things in life. And of course, there are many believers around the world who are suffering for their faith. They're being persecuted. Trials, yes, we will have them. There will be suffering. We will have periods when it feels like the whole world is against us. Times of sickness, injury, ill health, and of course, old age. Paul tells us in the light of eternity, these things will be momentary. We'll come back to that. Listen to what James, the brother of Jesus, had to say about trials. "Count it all joy." What does he say? "Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." This is not denying the circumstance, but we are promised heavenly joy if we endure. And that can only be found in a relationship with a loving Father. Whatever the trial, be it aging, sickness, afflictions, we are held secure in his hands. So trials will come, but we can find joy in them. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So the next T, temptation. Temptation during trials can be to become anxious, to be fearful, to feel hopeless, to feel downcast, weary, exhausted, even giving up following Jesus. There's a temptation to believe that God doesn't heal, or that he did in the past. Paul says, though, in verse 8, "Afflicted, yes, but not crushed. Perplexed, yes, but not despairing. Even persecuted, yes, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Do you know the Duracell bunny advert, where the Duracell bunny just keeps on going like this? That's what we should be like. Just keep going. The temptation is to give up, not to press in and to press on. This is an enormous challenge for us, isn't it? Verse 16 tells us the temptation is to lose heart, to feel hopeless. The temptation is only to look at the things that are seen and the things that are not seen, focusing only on our present circumstances. During various temptations, it's important that we stand with each other, support each other, pray and love each other. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When we resist temptation, it builds us up. It builds spiritual muscle. You go to the gym, you do repeated exercise. Some of you go to the gym. You do repeated exercises against resistance, and that builds muscle. Temptation, when we resist, it builds spiritual muscle, if you like, because we're actually built to conquer. We're built to endure and to conquer, not to be overcome. Fasting, the discipline of fasting, going without food particularly, builds us up because it teaches us self-control. Wow. That helps us resist temptation. I want to tell you about a friend of mine. I lived in Birmingham for 4 years, and I got to know a chap. We had lunch together often because we worked closely, and he was in the same church as I. We were on the same leadership team together. His name was Pete. And during the end of my time in Birmingham, he began to be unwell. He became unsteady on his feet. He was only in his 30s, married with two lovely boys. He loved playing football with them. And eventually, he was diagnosed as having muscular dystrophy. And on one of my visits, he had declined and was in a wheelchair and spent a lot of time in a wheelchair. And he told me a story. He went to a healing meeting, and he was at the front of this healing meeting in his wheelchair. Next to him was another young man in a wheelchair with exactly the same disease, muscular dystrophy. The other man was healed. My friend Pete wasn't. And he was telling me this story. And you know, he was not overcome by the fact that he wasn't healed. He resisted the temptation of, why me? Poor me. And I don't understand why he wasn't healed. He's now gone to heaven. But I know that the way he was cared for and prayed for by his church, by his family, how he was looked after, it's a mystery why he wasn't healed. But maybe there was a greater glory to be seen in the way he was cared for. I don't understand. I don't understand that. There are mysteries around the whole healing thing, but we are to endure even through sickness. Romans 8 tells us we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. 2 Timothy says, if we endure, we will reign with him. The trials, the temptations are preparing us. They are growing us in Christ as we conquer and overcome. We grow in holiness and purity. We grow in Christ-likeness in the waiting. It's all preparing us for glory. Jesus, you see, is preparing a beautiful, holy bride. That's you and me, one without acne, spot, wrinkles, aging. And he doesn't use makeovers or makeup. He does this through the things we have to face at times, sometimes exposing our weaknesses, refining our characters, enabling us to triumph, to be conquerors, preparing us for the glory of eternity. Yeah, we can shine and we can sow for God's glory. I want to add another one to that. We've had shine and sow, haven't we, the last few months. I want to add reap as well, because we can shine and we can sow and we can reap for the glory of God. Romans 5, verse 3 says this: we know that these troubles produce patience. Your troubles produce patience in you. Patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us, because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. So the temptations will be there, but they're for us to conquer. you are more than a conqueror. Do you want to say that? I am a conqueror. I am a conqueror. Can we all say that? I am a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We're built to be conquerors, okay? Not to be defeated. So let's look at some truth then. Truth about aging, truth about sickness and various trials. Okay, I'm not well, I'm sick. We must not be in denial, certainly. We must face reality. I have an aging body. I'm suffering with this. This chronic illness seems unending. So what is the truth about these things? The truth is found in Exodus 15 and through many scriptures. I am the Lord, your healer. That's what God declared about himself. Yahweh is your healer. Psalm 103, the Lord heals all your diseases. There is no disease beyond his healing, beyond supernatural healing. 1 Peter 2 says, by his wounds you have been healed. It's taken from Isaiah. Matthew 14, Jesus had compassion and healed the sick. And Hebrews 13, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change from who he has always been and always will be forever. The Bible doesn't teach anywhere that at a particular time God decided to stop healing people. He doesn't change in that respect at all. God is our healer. So how does God heal? Well, I covered this in a recent message, so a quick recap for you who were there. Firstly, God heals our bodies through natural healing processes. The body has an amazing ability. It has a gift of healing in itself, if you like. Bruises heal. Bones heal if they're in alignment. They heal well. Cuts and wounds heal. The body protects itself through its immune system and fights infection. We're also to look after our bodies and not abuse them with excesses like too much food or too much alcohol or addictive behaviours or not enough exercise. We're to look after our bodies. That's a godly thing to do, but our bodies can heal themselves. Secondly, Jesus heals through medicine and surgery. These often initiate or help the process of healing or directly heal us. Jesus has given wisdom and knowledge to scientists and doctors. Thirdly, Jesus can heal supernaturally. This can be with miraculous instant intervention, can come over a period of time, but it can still be miraculous, which we've seen and heard testimony of this year. A number of people have been healed spontaneously this year through prayer. Jesus, I believe, also wants to speed up the natural healing process at times. So there can be a supernatural intervention from God through the gift of healing. Paul, who suffered so much, remember all those things he went through, taught the young church about the gift of healing. Although he went through those things and had all those things, he still believed that God healed, and he taught about the healing gift. Don't fall into the trap, though, of believing that supernatural healing is better than natural healing. It's all the same. It's all God healing us. Elaine demonstrates that this morning to us. Doctors have intervened, but she also testified, she also told us in her story that God answered prayer in that as well. Jesus also heals by taking us away from the sickness in our body. This happens when we die. We leave our diseased, injured, or sick body in the coffin or the grave, and we are removed from pain forever, from suffering forever. Death for the follower of Jesus is not to be feared. It's a doorway to our complete healing, our complete salvation. So for me, the question is not, Jesus, do you want to heal? It is, how do you want to heal? That's the question for me. Faith is key. Faith will always be evident, either in the person or in the room. We read about it here. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe and so we speak. We speak out words of faith. Faith is at work in the gift of healing, just as it is in every other spiritual gift of prophecy, of tongues, interpretation, discernment, miracles, and so on. Faith is always an element there. It's operated by faith. Faith will be present. Healing can be delayed. It is not always instant. And for Rich and many others in the church at the moment, it is delayed. But delayed healing does not mean that it is denied. It does not mean that it will not happen. You know, sometimes our emotions need healing, and then physical healing will manifest. Sometimes we need to forgive someone, and healing will be manifest. And there can be other reasons around lifestyle failures, demonic or occult involvement, or involvement with paganism, witchcraft, and secret societies. All these things can affect our health. There is a link with arthritis, with bitterness in people's hearts. That's not saying that all arthritis is due to bitterness, but some people who have had an issue with bitterness, when they've sorted that out, have been freed from the pain of arthritis. There's many things, you see, that we don't understand, and sometimes there can be underlying things that need to be healed in our hearts, our emotions, other areas of our body that actually are the key to healing. But healing will come in God's time for all his children. That is the truth for followers of Jesus, because God is our healer. Amen. The ultimate purpose for healing is to bring glory to Jesus. Verse 15 tells us, all for the glory of God. So could a delay in healing be for a greater glory of God? There's mystery here, there's a tension here, there's the now and the not yet, those healed now and later in time. We all need to be aware, though, how difficult it is for those who are waiting for healing and to be loving them, not condemning, but loving people. As followers of Jesus, we are with Jesus. We become like Jesus and we do the works of Jesus. That's the process. You know, we come to Jesus, we're with Jesus. We become like Jesus. We are not Jesus, we become like him because of the shared life we have with him, and we do the works of Jesus. So we are to triumph just as Jesus triumphed over temptations that he went through and over the cross and over death. We are called to triumph over these. We are conquerors as Jesus conquered, but we don't do it in our own strength. Even in old age, even with illness, we are still called to do the works of Jesus. Just because you've got an illness, it doesn't mean that you can't do the works of Jesus. I had a dear friend who was a pastor for over 50 years. He had an amazing healing gift. He prayed for so many people and saw so many people healed. Yet throughout his life, he had an underlying chronic disease that wasn't healed. It's a mystery, isn't it? Don't understand it, but that's reality. So it doesn't disqualify you. And even if you've got arthritis, still pray for people who've got arthritis. Don't disqualify yourself. In Luke 9, it says, and Jesus called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And Jesus sent them out. You know, we are able to move in that same authority because it's the authority from Jesus. Jesus healed the sick from all kinds of illnesses, from skin complaints to lameness to paralysis, hemorrhaging, blindness, deafness, dumbness. Actually, Jesus never prayed for healing. We don't have any recorded prayer of Jesus for healing. He commanded it. For example, he ordered the fever of Simon's mother-in-law to leave. He told the leper to be clean. He commanded demons to leave. And the book of Acts contains many examples of healings after Jesus' death and his resurrection. He gave this authority and this ministry to the church. It's a gift to the church. And I personally don't believe it's a gift for individuals, because it's for the church, just as prophecy is for the church, just as tongues and interpretation is a gift for the church. Healing is a gift for the church to build us up. Paul taught the Corinthian church about the gifts of the Spirit, which include the gift of healing. Paul had been healed of blindness. The gift had been given to the church, although it's exercised through individuals. You and I have been given authority over sickness by faith. A few months back, I spoke about the lame man who was healed at the temple gate. Peter and John understood the authority Jesus had given them, and they commanded the lame man to walk. And Jesus, I believe, wants to highlight and restore this gift of healing to the church, to us. I believe it with all my heart, for it to be used properly, for it not to be abused for the glory of man. It's, along with all the other spiritual gifts, one to pursue with faith and cooperate with what the Father is doing here on earth. It's not about saying the right words or thinking the right thoughts. No. But it is discerning what the Father is doing. And Jesus, how are you going to heal this person? How is Jesus going to be glorified in this situation? So we live with the mystery of why some are healed and some are not. But I believe that Jesus wants us to be willing to step out and to pray those prayers of faith, to command sickness to leave. And we can start with small steps. We don't have to go for the big illnesses. We can start with small steps that will build our faith. So the third T then is transformation. This probably isn't quite the right word, but it was the best I had with T, okay? The Bible says the wages, the payout of sin is death. And this comes to us all. So the aging process and death is as a result of sin. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Life in Christ, a new and an everlasting life. This is the best, the greatest healing that we can receive. And if you this morning, if you are just on a journey and to understand about Jesus, you can receive that gift this morning of healing, of eternal life for yourself. So all of our bodies are aging, they're wasting away. You know that, don't you? Unless Jesus returns, we will eventually reach the day of release from this earth suit, and we enter into eternity and put on our heavenly suit. As our earthly bodies fade, the things of the Spirit will become more and more real for us. We will be renewed day by day. Decay, you see, cannot touch the life of Christ within us, because we are in Jesus, and Jesus is everlasting, and we are everlasting. We receive that life. And one day we will be free from this body and its aches and pains and all the rest of it. Hallelujah. Although the suffering, delayed healing, trials, temptations will come and go in this life, Paul says they are only momentary. Paul says they are minuscule in comparison with the glory. Just let that sink in. Everything, the worst thing that you've been through, or maybe even the worst thing that you fear, but the worst thing that you've been through, is just momentary in comparison with the glory. Suffering with a virus for a few weeks is a fleeting amount of time in eternity. Seems a long time when you're going through it, doesn't it? And I guess a long battle with cancer for 5 years or more. But in the light of eternity, it's a small amount of time. It dwindles into insignificance to the glory that we are going to receive. So it's not about hanging in there until we get into the end, till you get to the end. No, we are daily renewed. And that can be tangible, it can be accessible. That joy filling, renewing our inner being until that day comes. It's not automatic, it doesn't just drop out of the sky, but it's found as we look to the things that are unseen, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Let me read to you from Colossians. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow, that's the Christian hope. That hope is for every one of us here this morning. So summing up, trials, they will come. Be joyful during them. Temptations are there to be conquered and overcome. The truth is that Jesus is our healer. And transformation, let's look to the things that are unseen and fix our eyes upon Jesus. Afflictions and aging are temporary. The reward, the gift, the glory, the treasure we have in heaven is eternal as we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just have a moment of quiet. The worship team can come back, please. Thank you. I felt there was just a special anointing on that song we sung, How Good It Is to Be Loved by You. I think that was the song for this morning. So just as you're sitting there, just engage with God and receive his love. How good it is to be loved by our Father in heaven. You know, whatever circumstance you're going through at the moment, that's the truth. You are loved by God. You are special to him. Just let that truth filter into your heart. Obviously, speaking on healing, I believe that Jesus wants to heal people this morning. I think it would be good if we could do it this way this morning. If you're sick, you're injured, you know that you need healing, I'm just going to ask you to stand up, and we'll get some people around you to pray. But if that's you this morning, you just know that you want, you're seeking healing, and we're to seek and ask, aren't we? We're to keep going for it. If that's you this morning, if you'd like to just stand up while everyone's got their eyes closed, and just indicate that by standing in your seat. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just asking you to stand. In that you're saying, Lord Jesus, would you come and heal me this morning? Thank you. If there's anyone else you want to stand at this moment, that'd be great. It's lovely. If you're a member of this church and you're near someone that's standing, just ask their permission, but would you just like to lay a hand on their shoulder and we'll pray. That's it, just so that everyone's got someone standing with them. Just ask their permission to put your hand on their shoulder. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're the healer. Some of you might actually be feeling something going on. I had a recent back problem. And God healed me through medicine and exercise. But someone prayed for me one morning a few Sundays ago. And I felt an incredible heat on my lumbar region. And I believe that was God just touching me. So sometimes we can feel it in our bodies. You know, a heat or a tingling or whatever. And that could be a sign that God's just touching you. Yeah, so, yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're our healer. Thank you that you declared that you are our healer. And I pray that you'd come and take sickness out of bodies here this morning. Yeah, we tell sickness to go. In the name of Jesus, we say to pain, leave now in Jesus' name. Wherever that pain is, in the tummy, the limbs, the back, yeah, we tell pain to go. Out of the head, we tell pain to go. Yeah, and we command into alignment those things that are not in alignment in our bodies. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we look to you. The glory is for Jesus. How good it is to be loved by you. Whether healing is today or whether it's tomorrow or it's next week, whenever, we are still loved by God. He's shown that love to us through Jesus, through his suffering, through his cross. By his wounds, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. Yeah, God's doing some things this morning. It's beautiful to see. We are going to sing together, but don't disengage with God. If you just know you need to keep praying, taking authority, etc. You stay in that place. Others of us can sing and we'll finish the meeting like that. And if you want more prayer, the prayer team will be available afterwards as well. Sometimes healing comes not instantly, but after we've prayed for longer than 1 minute, if you see what I mean. We have to pursue the gift. Pursue the gift.
Wonder if I can ask, does anyone here know that they have been healed this morning? Do you want to raise your hands if you sense God's been doing something in your life? Wonderful. Yes, yes, a few people. Praise God. Let's keep on trusting. Let's keep on believing in God, who is our healer and the one we can trust in all circumstances. There's more opportunity if you want some more prayer. Our prayer team will be over here in this corner while we have coffee together. But yeah, do head over there for some prayer. Carry on praying with those around you for the rest of us. Tea and coffee, chance to stick around and get to know new people, encourage each other. Thank you for coming. Good to see you.